As we know, when we read the Megillah, we don't just read the Megillah. We begin by saying a number of brachos, and after the Megillah is over, we say a bracha as well. So that's what I'd like to talk about very briefly this afternoon. The question becomes, what do we do about the bracha of Shehecheyanu? This is a big dispute among the Rishonim, a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush on the one hand versus the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush say that it would make sense to make a bracha of Shehecheyanu both at the Megillah reading that we do at night, and once again at the Megillah reading that we do during the day. Whereas the Rambam is of the opinion that that really doesn't make sense. When we do the same mitzvah once at night and then another time during the day, there is no justification to make the same bracha of Shehecheyanu twice in a row. After all, we just did the mitzvah last night, and therefore we should be covered. This boils down to a machlokas between Ashkenazim and Svardim, because the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, accepts the position of the Rambam, which is that there is no reason to be saying Shehecheyanu a second time, whereas the Ramah adopts the position of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, which is Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush, that they feel that we should be saying Shehecheyanu twice. So the Mishnah Brura writes that because this is such a major dispute among the Rishonim, and we're dealing potentially with a bracha levatala, maybe if the Rambam is right, then it means the Ashkenazim are making a bracha levatala, so therefore the Mishnah Brura suggests that it would make sense when we say the Shehecheyanu in the morning, since we already said it at night, and it's not so clear whether we should be repeating it. He suggests that we should have in mind that we should make a Shehecheyanu not only for the Mikra Megillah, but that it should cover all of the other mitzvahs that we are about to do throughout the course of the day, which means the Shalach Manos, the Matanos Le'Evyonim, and the Sudas Purim are all going to be covered. And the Mishnah Brura gives this suggestion just to get out of this potential bracha levatela. But the question that the Rishonim are bothered with is, why is it that we would repeat a Shehecheyanu by Yom if we already said it at night? Even if Tosis is correct, what is the rationale for that position? And why do the Ashkenazim follow that psak? So that is really unclear what the answer is. Very simply, some Rishonim say that although it sounds like it's the same mitzvah to be done at night as it is during the day, they are two independent mitzvahs. And therefore, we have a general principle that mitzvah haba mizman lizman. When you have a mitzvah that comes around periodically and is not something that we do every day or every month of the year, that is something that warrants a Shehecheyanu. So we have not lain the Megillah since last year, Purim night. We're going to say Shehecheyanu this year again, Purim night. We have not lain the Megillah since last year, Purim day, which is mitzvah B, totally unaffiliated with mitzvah A. Therefore, when we come back to this year, Purim day, we are going to make a Shehecheyanu on this mitzvah that we have not done in an entire year. That is the suggestion of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim say that really the mitzvah of Shehecheyanu is recited here because the Iker Persume Nisa is Bayom, which is a little bit surprising to me based on if you just look at the demographics today and how things work out. What I find is Purim night in Shul, it seems to be jam-packed. Purim day, everybody's rushing, everyone's going, they have a small minion here, a little minion there, and everyone's doing whatever's convenient for them. But Tosa says that really it used to be in the days of the Rishonim, at nights people weren't so comfortable going outside at night, and therefore they had very small pockets of people who lay in the Megillah together. By Yom, once it was during the day, everybody came out in droves to Shul, and therefore that was the major Persume Nisa, which would warrant a Shehecheyanu in and of itself, even though we may have said Balayla. That's what Tosa says is the justification for saying Shehecheyanu once again by Yom, even though we said it Balayla. The Nedbi Yehuda, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim in the 1700s, writes that perhaps the reason why is because the nature of the obligation is different. The obligation of laning Mikra Megillah Balayla is only Midirabanan. Yeah, and the obligation by Yom is also Dirabanan. How could it be Daraisa? The whole Purim is only Dirabanan. It's not in the Torah. So what is he getting at? So he says, no, during the day is Midivrei Kabbalah. What's Divrei Kabbalah? What does that mean? I've heard of Dirabanan, I've heard of Daraisa. What's Divrei Kabbalah? So the Nadi Yehuda introduces us to this concept of, again, the Gemara describes this here and there, but the Nadi Yehuda says maybe this falls into that category. Divrei Kabbalah means when I have something that was not listed in the Chumash itself, but it's listed in Nevi'im or Ksuvim as a mitzvah. So that is not necessarily only a din derabbanan. Maybe it's like an elevated level. It's closer to a d'oraisa. And he says that would be something that we call divrei kabbalah. The Gemara has a line, divrei kabbalah k'divrei Torah damian. And therefore he says, since divrei kabbalah is somewhere in this middle ground, and he argues that maybe there's room to say that the mitzvah mi divrei kabbalah is only by yom and not by laila, therefore we recite Shehiyanu both at night, and then we repeat it once again during the day. Whatever the reason is, that is the practice of the Ashkenazim. Now, in general, whenever we make a bracha, we have three different categories of brachas that we make throughout the year. We have a Birchas HaShvach, a Birchas HaNenin, and we have a Birchas HaMitzvah. What is the difference between these three categories? Birchas HaShevach means when I see something that I'm overwhelmed by, when I feel that because of the experience that I had, I need to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to now respond by saying a bracha. So naturally, the Rishonim say, a Birchas HaShevach is only recited after I have that experience. So for example, if I go, the Gemara says, HaRoes HaYam HaGadol, I go and I see a overwhelmingly beautiful ocean, one of the big oceans in the world, I say a bracha on that. If I go and I see the Grand Canyon, after I am overwhelmed by the sight that I just saw, I then make a bracha on thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Birchas HaShevach, praising Him for the incredible opportunity that I've had. So Birchas HaShevach is always said ex post facto. However, you have a Birchas HaNenin. When do you make a Birchas HaNenin? Birchas HaNenin means, the Gemara says, whenever I want to derive benefit or pleasure from something in the world, I need to first ask permission to do so. So the Gemara says that I always have to do that beforehand. And in fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Lamed Hey, for those who are learning the Daf Yomi, you just did it 3 weeks ago, Kol HaNene Min HaOlam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Ki Ilu Mal. If somebody eats something without first asking permission by reciting a bracha, it's as if you're stealing because it doesn't belong to you. And the bracha is what we call the matir. The bracha is what allows me to derive that hana, to have that benefit. So whenever we have a Birchas HaNenin, it is made before. Whenever you have a Birchas HaShevach, you make that after. What about a Birchas HaMitzvah? So that's the question that the Gemara asks in Maseches Psachim. The same Gemara shows up also in Maseches Sukkah. What is the status of a Birchas HaMitzvah? Should I make a bracha before I perform the mitzvah? Should I make the bracha after I do the mitzvah? So the Gemara says the rule is, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan Mevarech Aleihem Over La'asiyasan. The halacha is that whenever I have a bracha on a mitzvah that I need to perform, that always needs to be said before the mitzvah is done. And therefore, before I lay in the Megillah, I make a bracha. Before I light Hanukkah candles, I make a bracha. Before I blow shofar, I make a bracha. Before I do any mitzvah throughout the experiences of the year, I'm always going to make the bracha first. Ask the Ritva, why? Why do you make the bracha first? And he explains, this is his lesson, Kedei Sheha Adam Yiskadish Tchila Bebracha, V'yegale V'yodia Shehu Osa Osa Mepnei Mitzvah Hashem. Somebody walks by my house on Hanukkah and sees that I'm lighting candles. Maybe it's because I like to have romantic dinners at night. Maybe it's because I just enjoy scented candles and I like the way they smell. How do you know that you're doing it because God commanded me to light candles on Hanukkah? The answer is, I make a bracha. By making a bracha, it becomes clear and obvious to everyone that I'm not doing this just because I enjoy candles in my house, and I'm not doing this for any other reason other than because God instructed me to do this. Asher kedishanu mimitzvos v'tzivanu, and therefore says the Ritva, that's the reason why a bracha needs to be said before a mitzvah is performed. And the Gemara says, over la'asiyasan means, and the way the Rishonim explain it, over la'asiyasan means it can't be over the over. It has to be immediately before the mitzvah is done. Not too much in advance and not afterwards. So you're going to say I'm sounding very technical, but this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in a number of places. For example, in Hilchas Dalad Minim, the Mechaber writes that we have to make the bracha before we shake the Dalad Minim, but you cannot make the bracha while the Dalad Minim are still in the box or still in the bag. You take it out, you pick it up, and before you start shaking, that's when you make the bracha. The same is in Hilchos Tfilin. It says that you don't make the bracha on the Tfilin until the Tfilin is on your arm and you're ready to tighten the strap. That's when you make the bracha. Very often you'll come to shul and you'll see people making the bracha while the tefillin is still on the table. That is incorrect. The Shulchan Aruch says you make the bracha over la'asiyasan. And over means immediately before I'm about to do the mitzvah, that's when I make the bracha. In Ilchus Tzitzis, the Mishnah Berurah says, when I put on my talis in the morning. So the bracha is supposed to be recited as I'm holding the talis, about to put it on over my head. That's when I say the bracha. Not while the talis is still in the talis bag, not while I'm unfolding it, but after I do all of that preparatory stages and now I'm prepared to do it, that's when I make the bracha. So the question then becomes, how would you categorize the bracha of Shehecheyanu? We said that you have to make a bracha of Shehecheyanu when you lay in the Megillah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah haba mizman lezman. It comes from time to time, once a year. So we make a bracha of Shehecheyanu. Okay, so we make it at night. Ashkenazim make it again during the day. The question now becomes, what if, and I get this question every year, somebody comes late to Mikra Megillah, and they get there right as the Baal Kori is about to start the laning, but they miss the bracha, and they want to know, can I make the Shehecheyanu after I finish hearing the Megillah, or did I miss my opportunity? That is a very good question. That is a very good question. The problem is, by the time they call me with the question, it's already 3 hours later. By then, it's for sure too late to make the bracha. The question is, am I allowed to make the bracha immediately after the mitzvah is over, or do you say, if you missed it, it's over? So this is a big discussion among the Gedolei HaAchronim in the 1700s, 1800s. Rabbi Kiva Eger speaks about it, and there was a sefer, Nahar Shalom, which many of us probably have not heard of. I myself have never looked into it, but it is quoted by many later Achronim. The Nahar Shalom was one of the great Gedolim in the 1700s, and they all talk about whether or not a Shehecheyanu is able to be recited after I have finished the mitzvah, or do you say, no, this is specifically indicating that I'm about to do something that I'm excited about, and therefore I say the Shehecheyanu because I have not done this mitzvah in a year, but if I miss it, perhaps it is over. Rabbi Kiva Eger argues that he thinks if somebody misses a Shehecheyanu, they have a right to make that bracha even after the mitzvah is completed, because a Shehecheyanu goes on this period of year, on this mitzvah that I'm about to do, and if I miss that opportunity, I have not missed it legamri, I still have the chance to make it up afterward. At the end of the Megillah, we find something very unusual. Unlike any other mitzvah, you light Neres Chanukah, you make the bracha, do the mitzvah, and you move on with your life. When you do Tkiyas Shofar, you make the bracha, you blow the shofar, and then you move on with the davening. Here, by Mikra Megillah, we find something very unusual, and that is, we make the bracha, we lay in the Megillah, and then make another bracha. Right? Haravas Rivenu, we make another bracha. At night, after we finish laying the Megillah, we say an additional bracha after the mitzvah is over, which is very strange. We don't find such a concept by any other mitzvah, pretty much. Where else do you find that? That a bracha is recited after the mitzvah is over, basically wrapping up everything we've done. And this is a major discussion in the Rishonim that the Beis Yosef quotes in Ilchas Purim. Would that bracha be recited if, let's say, I'm laning the Megillah b'yechidus? Very often we're going to have a private reading of the Megillah for a chole, or for women who sometimes can't come to shul, or whatever the circumstance may be. You're not always going to have a minyan of people who are going to be present when the Megillah is read, for whatever reason. You're supposed to go out of your way, mishum persumei nisa. You're supposed to do whatever you can, mishum berov am hadras melech, to read the Megillah with a crowd of people. But not always is that a relevant possibility. Some people are not able to go out. Some people are not able to come to shul. So first of all, the discussion is, would you recite this bracha of Haravas Rivenu if you do not have a minyan present? This is a major dispute among the Gedolei HaRishonim. The Ramah paskins that unless you have a tzibur, this bracha should not be recited. It is intended specifically, Haravas Rivenu, it's the tzibur's opportunity to highlight the incredible miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did and to thank Him for what it is that was done many, many years ago in the times of Mordechai and Esther. If we are not laying the Megillah in the presence of a minyan, then we would not do it. Rabbi Avadya Yosef then discusses, what about if it's not an actual minyan of 10 men, but you do have 10 people? What if it's 10 women? So obviously you can't say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, right? That's Dvarim Shebekdusha that you need a minyan for. But we do have a crowd of people. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef argues that in such a case, he thinks that you should make the bracha Ravas Rivenu. After all, that is Persume Nisa. My father disagreed with that psak. He doesn't agree at all. And he thinks that this bracha is specifically intended for a minyan of men who are laning the Megillah together. They should recite Harav Es Rivenu. And the question then becomes, what is the halacha if a person was mafzik after the Megillah was over, before the bracha of Harav Es Rivenu is recited? Sometimes the minute the Megillah is over, people turn to their friends and they say, oh, he was a great Baal Kori, or oh, he was a horrible Baal Kori, or why did I come to the shul? There's so much noise here. Everybody has their claims, everyone has their problems, and they all start talking about it before they make the bracha Haravas Rivenu. And that is a dispute in the tour. Do I have a right to make this bracha after I have made a hafsaka, after I have made a break by speaking between the end of the reading of the Megillah and the recitation of this bracha? The Mishnah Berurah writes that Harav Es Rivenu is something that is directly connected to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. It is connected to the brachas that I said before the Megillah, and therefore he says this is one continuous mitzvah. It starts with the first bracha that I make, it continues through the Mikra Megillah, it ends with the last bracha that I make after the Megillah is completed, and therefore he says one has to be careful not to be mafsik from the time that we start until after the last bracha of Harav Es Rivenu. And there he writes, what if a person is mafsik? What if I do speak in between the bracha of Harav Es Rivenu and the end, the completion of the Mikra Megillah? The Mishnah Berurah says he's not sure if it's a bracha levatela. He's not sure if you have a right to make Harabes Rivenu if you had a hafsaka between the Mikra Megillah itself and the making of that bracha. So we should all be careful. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. If we're able to, we should be careful not to make any hefsek between the beginning of the first bracha that we say before Megillah begins until after the last bracha is recited, after the Megillah is completed. Yes.